Every Sunday at Mass, we profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. And as we come to the end of the Creed, we say that I look forward to the resurrection from the dead and the life of the world to come. And I wonder if we have really ever thought about what that statement means. And do we understand what a truly radical thing it is to say that I believe in the resurrection from the dead, and that it has implications for my daily life? This phrase, I look forward to the resurrection from the dead and the life of the world to come, what does it mean? Well, at the end of our natural lives, there will come a separation of our soul from our body. And our soul will be judged. It will be judged by God as to be worthy of heaven. If our soul is full of grace and has been molded in the image and likeness of God, or we may need to go to purgatory for a final cleansing, for that cleansing fire of purgatory by which we become ready for heaven. Or, God forbid, if we had cut ourselves off from God's life by mortal sin, our souls will be sent to hell. And as our soul goes to be judged by God, our bodies will be put in the earth. And in a real way, we can say that our bodies will be planted just like a seed in the ground. And just as that seed that goes in the ground awaits its growth, its blossoming, our body will await the resurrection from the dead. And St. Paul talked about that resurrection in the second reading today from the first letter to the Corinthians. He says that Christ has been raised and that Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That in Christ all will be brought to life. Christ the first fruit, then at his coming, those who belong to him. That's what it means when we say that we believe in the resurrection from the dead. We believe that on the last day when Christ comes again in glory, our human bodies will rise from their graves and be reunited with our souls. Jesus in St. John's Gospel says that the hour is coming when those who have done good deeds will rise to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked deeds to the resurrection of condemnation. That resurrection, that last day, is the day of the sprouting of the seed of our bodies, when our bodies will be reunited with our souls. And it's not a resuscitated life, as if this life picks up where we left off, but rather it's a glorified life. It's the glorified life that Jesus had after his resurrection from the dead. When his apostles could see him, they could touch him, but yet he was different because he was filled with God's glory. And he saw that in his human flesh. So our lives will be so filled with God's glory, our human flesh will be transformed. It will be glorified. The separation of our souls from our bodies that happens at our death is not our natural state. It's not what God has created us for. He created us as a union of body and soul, and we are incomplete until the day of the resurrection. Incomplete until we are body and soul, gazing on God forever in heaven. And when we profess our faith in the Nicene Creed every week, this is what we say that we believe in. And that we not only believe in it, but we look forward to it. We look forward in anticipation of the day of the resurrection. And I think it can be somewhat lost on us what a radical thing this is to say. It's certainly against the prevailing culture of our time, and it was against the prevailing culture of the first Christians. in that Greek and Roman world, in their pagan philosophy, the body was something to be freed from. They thought about it as a prison, that the soul needed to be freed. But then the Christians came and said, no, the body is part of who God created us to be. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's to be honored and cared for and ultimately buried in anticipation of the resurrection. This flew in the face of the cremation practices of the ancient Romans. The Christians said, no, we place our beloved dead in the ground. Unfortunately, this pagan understanding of the body is really making a comeback these days, even among Christians. The culture teaches us that the body is something that we own, that we can manipulate. We can change our gender if we don't like our gender. We can change parts of our bodies at our own wills. And ultimately, the body then, they say, is something that can be disposed of and scattered to the wind as if it never really mattered. We even see cremation becoming widespread among Christians. While technically allowed by the church for various reasons, it's allowed by way of exception because it's not the fullest sign of what we believe, of placing the body as the temple of the Holy Spirit in the ground awaiting the resurrection. So today we run the risk of that radicality of our Christian faith, of our belief in the resurrection, of this truly awesome understanding of what the body is and what it means, becoming lost in the din of our culture. So we come to the final question, the pertinent question, what does this have to do with my everyday life? I realize we're getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving, and I have a rather somber message this weekend. But yet, this is very important. This has everything to do with our daily lives, because what we do right now directly impacts what will happen to us on the day of the resurrection. What we do right here and now has everything to do with what will happen to us in eternity. And we have to take a look at the gospel reading today, and that helps us understand it. Jesus separates the sheep from the goats when he comes again in judgment. And he says to the sheep, he says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. A stranger and you welcomed me, naked and you clothed me, ill and you cared for me, in prison and you visited me. Sounds kind of simple. We really don't have to do anything that sounds particularly religious. But you have to think about, where do these good deeds come from? These deeds which Jesus praises. Even people who aren't Christian can feed the hungry and welcome the stranger and do all of those things that Jesus says. The Catechism tells us that our attitude about our neighbor will disclose acceptance or refusal of grace and divine love. I think that's a very important point and the key to understanding today's gospel. Our attitude about our neighbor will directly reflect my refusal of God's grace or an acceptance of that grace. When our souls are in a state of grace, when they are alive with God's life, our good works, these things that we do, become redemptive. They contribute to our salvation. Simply put, they move us closer to heaven, as Jesus says we should do in the gospel today. Being in the state of grace, doing those things that we would call religious, do matter. Going to Mass, participating in the Mass, confession, reading Scripture, prayer, all of those things fill our souls with grace so that our hearts can be alive to see those who are in need and to see Christ in them. Jesus says, amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me. Jesus so closely identifies himself with them that what you do for the least, you do for Christ. And we have to have hearts alive with God's grace so that we can see Jesus there. Jesus comes to us each day in the people we meet. And when our hearts are attuned to him through a soul that's filled with grace, we can see Jesus in them. This criteria by which we will be judged is whether we see Jesus in our brothers and sisters and act accordingly because we have kept God's grace alive within us. And that's why all of this matters right here and right now. God has given us free will. He gives us every grace, every blessing, and says, do something with it. You determine how you will spend your eternity. God loves us so much to give us that freedom to determine how we will spend our eternal life. Every time we pray the words, I look forward to the resurrection from the dead and the life of the world to come, it's a call to conversion. It's a call for us to remember that God gives us the gift of time right now. And one day, that gift will come to an end. It's a call to remember that our Christian faith gives us a radical understanding of our human body and how important it is and its place in God's creation. And that profession of faith is a call to live our lives in God's grace so that we can see Jesus in our brothers and sisters. For my friends, the Catechism again tells us, when Jesus comes again, in the presence of Christ, who is truth itself, the truth of each man's relationship with God will be laid bare.